Hey there, Hustle for Happiness fam. I'm Courtney Brooke, your host of the Hustle for Happiness podcast. And I am so excited about today's conversation. Not only is my bestie coming on, but she's a travel influencer and globetrotting. And I welcome Jasmine Dustin. Now, I know a lot of you out there are navigating the challenges of long distance relationships, whether you're in an intimate relationship or you're just missing your best friend. Jasmine has definitely been there. And as the founder of Jasmine's Journeys, she's constantly globetrotting to curate incredible group trips, all while building a fulfilling marriage who lives and works remotely as well, her husband, Scott. But Jasmine's insights in our conversation go way beyond long-distance relationships. She gets brutally honest about a whole range of topics that I know will resonate with you today. We talk about the importance of setting healthy boundaries, not just with your relationships, but also with your friendships. Jasmine shares her experience cutting ties with toxic people who were holding her back and the freedom she found on the other side. We also dive into the balance between pursuing your passions and nurturing your love life. As someone who's built a successful career as a travel influencer, Jasmine has a unique perspective on how to keep your personal growth and your relationships in harmony. And of course, we couldn't let Jasmine go without getting her take on the true meaning of intimacy. Her definition actually might surprise you, and it's about to be much more than just physical. So whether you're navigating a long-distance relationship or situation, struggling with your toxic friendships, or simply seeking to build a more fulfilling connection, I know Jasmine's wisdom is going to resonate with you. Now, let's get into it.
Hey, I'm Courtney Brooke, and this is Hustle for Happiness podcast. We are all on this journey to find happiness, and let's face it, it takes work. And honestly, it's not always rainbows and butterflies. This podcast is dedicated to helping you navigate life and cut through the noise. As a certified life coach, recovering perfectionist, and survivor of the foster care system, I'm all about keeping things real. With my unique outlook on life that is truly infectious, we cover everything from achieving happiness and optimal self-care to stories of those sharing their wisdom and expertise. Thank you for showing up for yourself. Now, let's get started.
Jasmine.
Hi.
We have finally got you on the podcast.
About damn time,
We've
girlfriend.
We've done so many trips. We've had so many memories. We just finished our trip in September.
Less than a month. Oh, no, a month ago. A month ago.
Time but goes when by way comes too out, fast. When this comes out, it's going to be like 6 months ago.
And we'll be planning the next trip.
I know, right?
Woo! Where are we going next?
Everyone just tuning in, if you guys don't follow on Instagram, social, Jasmine is like just such a good friend in my life. And I'm having her selfishly on the podcast because you are just such a girl's girl, but you're a good friend, a fast friend of mine.
Thanks.
And she's a travel influencer, you guys. She does some crazy cool trips. She puts together girls' trips, and you're really good at it.
I try. It's new. The travel thing's new, but I just kind of fell into my lap, and I'm not going to complain about it, to be honest with you.
I think that we all wish we could do more travel
in life. Absolutely. Get paid to travel the world. I'm not going to complain about it at all.
No.
And good girlfriends.
I mean, that's how we became friends. And those just listening, I have friends from all over the world. I'm sure you do too. Mm-hmm. Is it hard for you to keep your friendships up?
No, I think it's like good for me because I mean, you know, I'm married, obviously. It's a newer marriage, but he appreciates that I can just go off and like do my own thing and see my girlfriends. And, you know, I was in LA for 21 years, so that's where my core group of friends is. Yeah. But we go back there all the time.
Yeah.
You come in. I mean, I just have people all over, and then that gives me a reason to travel some more, to go have some girl trips.
And you said you're married and newly married. Was it hard to find a partner that supports you in your lifestyle with travel and, you know, being from LA and the TV scene? Like, was it hard to find a partner that got you?
It was right when COVID hit. Yeah. So like my modeling was kind of done. He didn't really like get to know me when I was doing red carpets and like, you know, the celebrity scene. My TV show was over. So I was kind of just really getting into the social media side. So at least he didn't like see that side of it. I don't think he would like that at all. But yeah, you know, when I met him, we had a house in Costa Rica. That was our third date. So he just loves to travel, and he's a lawyer and he works from anywhere. So it's a win-win.
I mean, it sounds like a perfect guy. I mean, honestly,
it works most of the time.
How did you guys meet? Because I know there's some single people out there and they always ask me, how did you guys meet?
We met on Hinge. Didn't you guys meet on Hinge
too?
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah.
When did you guys meet?
Well, right when COVID hit.
Literally. So 2020.
Yeah, was that when it was? Yeah. Okay.
Feels like
I'm
so
really
long
bad
ago.
With dates. I'm like, how long have we been married? I don't remember.
So you met on Hinge. Was there like a certain requirement for you to like make sure he was worthy, or what stood out for you?
This is my second marriage. I was, you know, single. I was like, I'm not going on a freaking dating app. This is so weird.
Yeah.
Coming from the entertainment industry, it just was weird. I had been on magazine covers and on TV shows. It's like, you had to be careful a little bit, you know, back then.
Totally.
So I was like, I'm not going on these dating apps. And I just kept like talking to people, but never going through the date. I'm like, I'm chicken shit. This is not, no. I'm making up excuses. I made up 4 excuses with Scott. Like every time he would ask me to come like on a date, and he didn't live in California, mind you. I thought he did, and he did not. He was there for trial.
Oh.
I'm like, he freaking bait and switched me. I'm like, you asshole. I'm like, you don't even live here.
So he was in LA, but
doing
not living.
Doing a trial. Yeah. So I kept making excuses. And then the 4th time, I'm like, I have no more excuses for this poor guy. I'm like, I've got to go. I went and we like just had drinks for way too long. And he has a tequila company. So we went to a bar that has his tequila.
Oh, what's the tequila company?
Los Sundays.
Oh, yes. I love their branding.
And he forgot his credit card. So that was fun. On the first day. But he did Venmo like $300. So I was like, oh, that was more than a date. But yeah.
Yeah, so you kind of made a profit.
Yeah.
So you put him through tests. I mean, I've done that with James. It's almost like we test the guys to see if they can really handle our crazy or handle us.
Oh, God, because we're a handful.
I mean, and we just need to know that
especially.
They're going to stick.
Sorry.
I am crazy. I mean,
I love you.
When you were on these trips, like we literally like see different sides, but it's so great. We are totally ourselves.
Yeah.
When you met Scott, you said you're on your second marriage. Do you think that really allowed you to be the better wife you are today?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. I think the second time around, he was married for 17 years also.
Okay, wow.
So I think just, you know, after him being married for so long, I was married. I was just like, just so much more low key. He is very just, I don't know. He doesn't wear shoes. He like goes to Costa Rica all the time. He's a surfer. He's just totally different than what I was used to. And it's made me chill the fuck out.
Yeah. I mean, you did.
Pardon my French.
This is an open environment, but I also feel like, you know, you said you had a different type. Did you, when you switched your type, do you think that allowed you to be more open to love too? And people are so picky.
So picky, for sure. I think I wanted like the white picket fence, the beautiful kids, all that stuff. And now our life is just so different than I ever thought my life would be. I mean, we just, you know.
And you make it work for you.
We travel all the time and just go with the flow. And hey, it's Tuesday. Let's go to happy hour because we don't have to go to our job from 9 to 5. Or hey, let's pack up our bags and let's go to the mountains for the weekend, you know.
And when you guys are apart, how do you guys keep that love going? Because I know when James and I spend time apart, like, it does create a divide, but I also believe that being apart can help the relationship.
Makes me miss him.
Right?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah,
that's how we are.
Sure.
Does Scott handle it well?
He does. He likes it because, like, it gives him time. He was texting me yesterday. He's like, oh, man, I got all the movies in that I wanted to see. He likes all, like, the action-packed movies. I want the love story. So it's like, he gets to do his things. Nobody's, like, bitching at him to clean up his clothes off the floor.
He
cooks whatever he wants. Nobody's telling him, we gotta watch what you eat.
Right. And I feel like that's so healthy. Like, we often see when our partners are gone, like, it's, wait, what am I not gonna do? How are they gonna live without me? How am I gonna micromanage them? And it's honestly,
oh, they're just fine.
Yeah, they're just fine. And it's honestly probably that break is healthy for the relationship.
I think it's very healthy. Yeah. And it makes me miss him, but yeah.
Yeah, I feel that too. What's the longest you guys have been apart?
Oh, probably only a few weeks.
Casual few weeks.
Casual. I know. I mean, it's long enough, but now he's leaving for the whole month of December because, you know, he's a lawyer, so he's got to go to Hong Kong and Singapore and everywhere else. So
let's get into like some little details. Do you guys like have to do some sexual FaceTime, sexting? Like,
I know. I think we're over that. Just like, I'm not in that phase of
my life. You know
how
people want? Yeah. And I think that's kind of awesome that you're actually bringing that up because people think that sex is everything for a
marriage. I'm not 19 years old anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, no.
And I also believe in phases.
100%. Yeah.
You know, you are frisky at times, but then, you know, there are people, and me being a coach, that's a lot of topics people talk about.
Absolutely.
People go, oh, we're not sexual right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's okay.
And I go, that's okay. There's other ways to be intimate.
Sure.
Are there ways for you guys that you show intimacy?
I mean,
being on the road?
Oh, that's a good question. Not really.
No.
I mean, he knows, like, I like, yeah, we do talk a lot. He really talks. He calls a lot.
Yeah, but I think you guys, like, being with you after, like, traveling a handful of times with you and just over the year, I guess, is, I've seen you guys make a very consistent effort.
Yeah, we do.
Making it important to talk on the phone.
To make sure you call. Like, my thing is, like, if we're away from each other, you let each other know when you're home safe. Like, you're back to the hotel. Okay, great. I don't want to be sitting up all night freaking like wondering where the hell you're at.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
No, I mean, I think creating those rules within the relationship, you know, some people need that intimate time.
Absolutely,
you know, James and I don't know if you know this, when we met on Hinge, James was in an open relationship. We were both in a rope. Yeah.
Oh my God. And so that gave me goosebumps. I'm like, my jealousy would not handle that.
I mean, some people can't, right? But we did. And he was on the end of his divorce.
Okay.
So he wasn't looking for a relationship.
Yeah.
And so James and I had that open relationship, and we didn't see each other for every 2 to 3 months, maybe 3 weeks, but we never made plans. But we started our relationship like
that.
On FaceTime. Okay. I mean, this is full disclosure, Mom, if you're listening. Out there, whatever, we all are human beings, but we had FaceTime was our intimacy time.
Okay.
James, now as our relationship has evolved, now we're married, it's like he needs that time to talk. You've gotten to know him through me.
Yeah. He's a lot like my husband.
Yeah, so I think encouraging the phases that intimacy doesn't look 100%. The same.
And you could be a year down the road and be completely in a different place.
Yeah, you know? Could be friskier. You could be... You know, I know that us as women, as we get older, I haven't had this yet, but...
Me neither, and I'm older.
Right,
I know
but
what you're
not in your 40s, though. I heard that.
I'm just I don't know. I thought you were supposed to hit, like, 35, and you just were horny all the time. And, girl, that does not happen. I don't know. I'm still waiting.
Right, we're waiting for that horny beat to drop.
My girlfriend's back in the day, she had a radio show, like I said, on Playboy, and they would always make fun of me because they're like, I'm going to give you guys pills because they felt so bad for my ex-husband. I just didn't have that sexual drive.
Yeah, and that's okay. And do you personally feel like there's something wrong with you, or how do you live with
that? No, I mean, I think a lot of girls are like that.
Yeah,
I mean, from what I've heard, you know, I hope.
Yeah, and then there's some that, some of my friends are just nonstop.
Holy shit, they fuck like rabbits all day long. I'm like, how do you have the energy for what?
And then those that are relationships that evolve, like James and I used to be like rabbits all the time, and then we're not. But it's not something those listening, like, if that's something you want to get back into it. But I feel like we judge ourselves, especially as women, as, oh, we're not as sexual as we used to be.
And that's okay. People go through phases.
Totally. And so when you're on the road, I think, like, as someone traveling a lot or someone who might be struggling in their relationship, I think that's really helpful advice, is to just make some rules for your relationship.
Yeah, for sure. And I know for me personally, like, if I'm not feeling good about myself, if I've been traveling, I'm not working out, I'm eating like shit, like, I don't feel comfortable being naked. I don't feel like every time, like, if I gain some weight, I'm like, no, I just does not, it's like, not him, it's me.
Yeah, but I love that, because we often blame our partners. Oh, he doesn't like me. Oh, he thinks I'm this.
He doesn't
do this.
Yeah, but it's in ourselves for sure.
Amen. No, I literally just got the because that is so true. Like, what do I need to do to show up as a partner?
Right.
Do I feel good? Do I look good? Yeah. Am I getting dressed every day? I mean, keep it that simple.
True. Yeah. And we all get in like our slum and just not put makeup on. And I mean, my husband prefers me to look like a bum anyways.
But... James actually likes when I don't wear makeup. The look, if you guys are watching live on YouTube right now or are seeing this on Instagram, like, it's okay to do your comfort of level.
Oh,
like, we're wearing minimal makeup, but like, that also makes us feel good.
Good,
you know?
Yeah, of course.
But
I don't wear a lot. Usually I'm like, oh, we actually got ready today. It feels good.
I know. And it does. And I think those little things are so important. You know, you talk about getting ready, feel good. Like, what is your ultimate, like, feel good thing you do for yourself, either on the road or when you're actually home?
I think for me, it's eating healthy and going and getting a workout. Like, even if it's just going outside and getting some fresh air, like, I just have to. And that's the hard part with me with travel. You're really good about it. You really stay on a good routine.
Yeah.
Like, when I travel, like, we drink, and then I'm like making excuses why I don't want to go to the gym because the beach is over there and I want my bikini on and I want a frozen margarita.
Right. You
want to
relax.
Oh, But when it's your job, you have to be a little bit better about it. I'm still learning that part of my job.
When you are home, though, I see, like, on your Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Then I work out like a crazy person and eat healthy and, you know, but it's, you got to learn that balance.
You have to learn the best. And I love that you're not actually hard on yourself and you're honest
it is
that, hey, I'm not always perfect.
No.
I mean, if you guys feel free to follow her or check her out. She has some amazing travel sites and locations. But yeah, you are on the go. How do you, if you're not working out, are there other things you do to keep your mindset clear? Because you're going through airports and talking with people and hotels and filming. What do you do for yourself?
I think for me, I like it because, like, I don't like to be in one place. I hate being home. Like, when I get there, I don't feel like Charleston's my home anyways. It just doesn't feel super homey to me. So when I'm there, I'm like, I got to get out of here. Like, I got to go. I got to plan something else, you know? And I think just coming from the entertainment industry, you know, I started modeling at 18. So I was around on sets, on flights, flying halfway across the world for shoots all the time. So I think I'm just used to that. I don't like to be, you know, not surrounded by people all the time.
I think that's like, it's in your blood. That's who you are.
Yeah.
Some people like, I don't know how you do it. Like my mom doesn't leave the house, or I have friends. Like, do you have friends that don't like leaving?
Yes, they don't go do anything.
How do you go?
I don't know. I just do. My mom's like, I don't know how you do this. Like, we'll get back from a trip and I'll be like, all right, where are we going to dinner? And I'm like, we just landed and we're going to get back out. Yep, we're going back out.
So that's in your blood. But I also see when we are together, you are in bed by 9 or 10.
I do.
So I have to say that.
Those days are over.
I think you can add and profess sleep.
Yeah, like, for sure.
You are really good at sleep. You even said last night, guys, I need my sleep.
Yeah, but I didn't get it. But I try.
But you try.
Yeah, I try.
And we started, we have this little routine together when we travel, is I play meditation music for you.
But you didn't last night.
Did I not? I think I was just so tired. But it's nice to just have little things.
Little things. And I've been doing that now at home when I can't
sleep.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
So when you are on the road and you're going nonstop, do you give yourself a break or how do you structure your time?
I mean, unless I'm with Scott and he's like, babe, we can't have every second of the day creating content, but I'm just used to that. I want like, in my mind, I'm missing out on opportunities to shoot, you know, like coming from the modeling world, like I just, and like being, you know, now I'm behind the camera shooting my own stuff, you know, just like I always want to be going and getting new content and doing things. So no, I don't really give myself much time.
Yeah.
Unless he gives me shit about it and then I have to.
I mean, that's why he's your partner, though.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
That's why it works.
He wants to enjoy the trip, too, not just be taking my pictures the whole damn time.
Right.
You know?
And I have trouble with that, too, finding that balance because you're doing really amazing stuff that you want to share. And for me, I find that, you know, I do have to say, hey, I have to dedicate some time to my husband.
Of course.
Or I have to dedicate
100%.
Some, even when we're with our friends traveling, you know, we've had some friends join the trips, even like the one we're filming in this beautiful dome,
so
you guys, overlooking the Appalachian Mountains here in North Carolina.
Right now.
By the way, Asheville is recovering, you guys. And I just want to say we're here to promote a beautiful glamping collective experience.
Yeah.
They're open, but we have friends here on this trip.
Yes, we do.
And how do you manage, even when you do some amazing girls trips, you plan curated trips.
Yeah.
How do you balance your content and making sure the girls feel
special?
That
is super hard for me. It really is, because everybody needs their time. And I'm like a people pleaser. I don't say freaking no. And so I want everybody to be happy. But then I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, well, shit, I got to get this content and I'm working for this brand, or I got to do this for the hotel. But she's sad and her boyfriend didn't call her back and this person's getting X-rated pictures. So we got to chat with that one. We have a friend that's been getting X-rated pictures this whole entire trip.
She's been getting D'd down. Guys.
Well, let me tell you. And it's not a cute thing.
All right, let's go on a tangent for a second, guys. I have my guy listeners. And so this is also for you, like talking about friendships and embracing your guy time. If you guys don't have your guy time, this is also... It's not just female specific. I know I have my bestie on the show, but kind of join me in like you would a movie theater, follow the story as if you were the main character. But we got to just give you guys some advice, right?
Please don't do it. There's nothing attractive about it.
It's great that you're really confident in that area. I love that for you. But maybe just save that for in person. Bring that confidence to the bedroom, right? Because as women, it's... What do you expect us to do when you say, when you show it to us?
But they think this is like the hottest thing ever. Like we are just dropping our pants and like, oh my God, I'm going to marry you. Like that is just so, it's gross. Hey, Sarah. She's sitting over there laughing at us right now. But yeah, she's been getting quite the...
Okay, so if you guys are like James and I started out in our relationship with sexual FaceTime, but I have to confidently say I didn't get D-slapped.
That's good.
Like,
thank God.
We can't. And guys, if you're D slappers, maybe turn into like booty slappers, because like that to us as women, I don't know. I don't feel heard. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't feel like that's relevant. So
it just isn't. And I mean, I don't know.
If you are a girl out there that loves a D pic,
please write in or
please
something.
Please write in and tell me what you like about it. Maybe we'll have like a whole thing and I'll bring like a sex therapist on, or maybe I'll bring Sarah on and talk about her experiences and we can all relate together.
But also, not to interrupt, but the photos she was getting, it looked like I mean, yes, we all shave up and everything, but my God, it was right. I mean, can you explain it? Maybe you can explain it a little bit better than I can.
Have you guys ever seen like a tube of bologna or a naked mole rat?
The mole rat.
Like chest hair is good, you guys.
It's okay. Chest hair is okay. We don't need every inch of your body completely shaven.
Yeah. So this is like a truth bomb for not only women, but men. It's okay to embrace body hair.
Yeah, it made me think I was looking at like a 14-year-old little boy. It was weird.
Right, and you've been in the movie industry where you, like you said, your friend had Playboy Radio.
Yeah.
You know, the thing with porn, and I was just at a summit series, and I was literally talking with the CEO of OnlyFans.
Okay.
And I was dancing right next to her. Like, it's like, if you guys haven't heard of Summit, it's like a curated, kind of an updated conference. But you have music and wellness and sound healing, and you can pick things all over. But one of the speakers was the CEO of OnlyFans, and
so
it's a girl.
Crazy, which is insane.
Our fans only. OnlyFans.
OnlyFans, yeah. OnlyFans, yes.
And the thing about OnlyFans is not just like explicit content. You can be a chef, you can curate music, you can do anything.
Yeah. But just need a following.
What reminded me of like D-pics and this guy specifically about having no body hair was porno.
It was like, just, it was like, I don't know. I felt dirty looking at it.
And I used to, I mean, don't get me wrong. I used to watch porn. Like I had a guy that was into porn.
Yeah.
And so like we did that together, not make our own. We watched
she had
it.
To add that in there really quickly.
I had to specify. But
there's no videos out there.
They don't show imperfections. They don't show belly rolls or bra straps or hair or smells. And I just want to say like, that's not reality.
Of course not.
It's not reality.
No.
And so I just want to like hit that home. Like, it's okay to have a little bit of hair. Hair. It's okay to be a little rugged. All right. So let's get back.
Oh,
I don't know how I got
way off topic here, but that's okay.
What was our topic before we got into managing friendships on trips?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And you were saying like the different expectations. You being a content creator and, you know, not only just for your own business, but you also put together beautiful group trips. How do you manage the group and yourself?
Oh, I've been really lucky. We almost every trip I've been on has been really good, really good energy.
Yeah.
But I also really like go through the people's profiles. You're not supposed to. Don't tell anybody.
But I actually appreciate that.
So I'm not going to get stuck with some weirdos on this trip when everybody's paying a lot of money to be in a beautiful location and then you've got drama. Like, well, I hate drama. I hate confrontation.
Well, and I think people spend money to not have drama. People, my fear actually, I did my first group trip. We talked about it at the beginning, but we went to Mallorca in Spain in 2024, September.
Yeah.
And I was nervous. I never did a group trip. I'm like, oh my gosh, people could be unpredictable. Drama, are they crying?
It could be brutal.
You know what I'm saying? Are they messy? Do they care? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you could say you don't want a weirdo, but you're actually creating a curated experience of common people that are going to get along.
And that's super important to me.
It's so important.
Keep it small. And then you all, I mean, look, we're all here together. Like, you know, you end up being friends after, which is pretty freaking amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it really has. And I love that how special you are about this and intentional you are. And I think going back to my question of how do you take care of like your mindset is, you pick people that you want to hang with that get along.
Yeah, I think absolutely.
Does that save you the mental space?
For sure. You know, of course you have some strangers on the trips, but I think, you know, when you kind of go through their feed and kind of see like family people, you know, like you just know and get their personality and kind of tell what kind of people they are. You know me, I'm a girl's girl. Like I hate competition. Like I don't want girls like that. Like, you know, that are all trying to be better than you or you have more money than me or, you know, like we're all on equal playing fields and I want us to all cry and laugh and dance in the rain together, you know?
And I think that's super special because those are, you're not only creating memories, but you're teaching women that we can be there for each other.
Absolutely. I don't understand why so many girls just, you know, they're just not girls' girls, you know? I try to help any friend that I can in any possible way, even if it means that they're going to take a job from me or they're going to book that campaign instead of me or, you know?
And I'm sure you see that a lot in your industry of like, oh, she got that job. Do you have any resentment or jealousy of things coming over you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, coming from the modeling and acting world, I would go on an audition and have 100 beautiful girls in the same room as me. So I would get told no 100 times a month, you know? Yeah. So you just have to have thick skin.
And I think us as women, we see like rejection as like, we're not good enough.
Yeah.
Right. Like we go into our heads and, you know, before I dated James, I had like the worst group of friends. They actually told me that They asked how much James was paying me. Yeah, how much James was paying me to be with him.
Oh, my God.
Because some of them thought I was on, what is that site? No, there's another one. There's another site
that's similar to that.
In San Diego that's really big, like for like dating rich older men.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're like, oh, how much is James paying you? And I was like, wow. And then another sign that I knew that I wasn't in the right friend group was I was afraid to bring James around them.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. Yeah.
I know that they would sneak in. And that's okay.
That's not a good friend.
No. Yeah, and I think that we often budge for our friends and budge for the way people treat us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
yeah.
You know, you've been nothing but I see how you are. You are a girl's girl. If I have any kind of questions or anything, you're like, how can I help you?
I always try to help. I don't care. You know, like, yeah, competition or not, I want everybody to succeed. You know? Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's super important is if those listening that have a friend that, you know, you find that, why aren't they happy when I'm happy?
Yeah.
That's a sign we should probably cut ties or distance ourselves.
Yes.
And I have an episode on like how to break up with a friend. And it doesn't have to be dramatic.
Yeah.
Not even a friend, a relationship. You know, family is such a tough one because it puts this role on us that because we're blood, we have to be close.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, people grow apart. People, right. You know, yeah.
And me being adopted.
Yeah.
My friends are my family. That's like me being adopted. I'm not of blood. I have two family members, you know?
Yeah.
Two.
So your friends need to be family, you know?
And I think we can put the power into ourselves by who we choose and hang out with.
Absolutely. I think as you grow older as well, like, you know, when I was younger, of course, I surrounded myself with people that I should not have surrounded myself with. But as you get older, I feel like you just learn and you know who you want to spend your time with, you know?
Hey, listeners, before we dive back in today's discussion, I want to take a moment to share something special with you. Have you ever felt like there's more to life, but you're not quite sure how to unlock it? That's where personal coaching comes in. It's not just about solving problems. It's about uncovering your true potential and living your best life. Imagine waking up each morning feeling excited about the day ahead, confident in your abilities, and ready to tackle any challenge that comes your way. That's the power of a healthy mindset. And the only difference between you and that reality is taking the first step. That's why I'm thrilled to offer you a complimentary personal coaching session. It's a chance for us to connect, explore, and uncover the limitless possibilities that await you. Whether you're looking to overcome obstacles, find clarity in your goals, or simply cultivate more joy and fulfillment in your life, I'm here to support you every step of the way. So, if you're ready to experience the transformation of personal coaching and what that can bring, simply head over to the show notes and click the link below where you'll find instructions on how to claim your session. Now, let's get back to our episode.
Being a model and, you know, the industry and being in TV and now a big influencer in the travel industry, what is the hardest thing you find when, you know, I'm sure you do meet a lot of people. How do you decide or differentiate? Is this person, do I want to be around them or do you distance yourself? Or
I mean, I feel like, you know we're on a press trip right now, so you'll meet people that way that are either opportunists that you can just tell right off the bat, like, we are not going to vibe. Like, you are in this industry or you are in this like profession for a lot of other reasons than I am, you know. I'm just a creative person. It's a creative outlet for me. I live in Charleston, so I can't really model anymore, you know. I'm getting older, so
Yeah, let's talk about getting older. How is that a challenge, and what are you seeing for yourself in your current industry?
Oh, you're getting old.
I know. Let's talk about it.
No. You know, like, yes, I'm getting older. You know, I still book my modeling jobs. I still have clients. I think as long as you just take care of yourself and you don't get in that, just like in that hole of, oh my God, I'm getting older, and just dread and just like, I don't know, feel pity for yourself, you know? Like, I have a healthy lifestyle, and I think as long as you stay healthy and you're not going to look like you're 50 when you're 50.
I think having that mindset, well, obviously we can't control it.
I know. And it sucks.
Right?
It sucks.
And we are, I think, how far apart are we?
A couple years.
James and I are 11 years. Yeah. So for me dating, I think you and Scott.
We are 7.
Yeah. So I think being and dating older guys too, I find that I'm like, James, come on. Or I just go do my own thing.
Yeah. Sometimes the age difference. Yeah, for sure. But for me, like, I'm always like, no, you got to start being like healthier in your life. Like, you can't just go down that road. Like, getting old and just not healthy and not taking care of yourself, you know?
So are you, is there anything that's changed as you, I mean, Jasmine's not 50, you guys.
No.
So I just want to like preface this.
No, God, no.
But like,
I was just like, a 50 is a big, I don't know.
Yeah, I just want to preface that.
Yeah, God, no.
But there, as we get older,
I'm 40.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. I was going to say 36. 40. Did you do something for your 40th?
What did we do? I think we went to like Thailand or something. I think we went to Thailand. Yeah.
Yeah, her birthday's
New Year's. And we're going on, I think, this year again. So.
Yeah, she love, you love Thailand.
I love just Asian food.
Yeah, so let's talk about your favorite places, your top two places that you know you absolutely have loved and highly, like, just has rejuvenated your soul.
Bali, for sure. Any woman, if you're going through anything, if you want to travel solo, like, you'll come back a changed woman for sure. Yeah. Like, I don't know. There's just something about the energy there. We were just there and Scott left me for a week to go to China, I think. And it was just so amazing, like just getting up and doing my own thing, walking. You walked everywhere. I'd go get my like pedicure and massage at 10:30 at night after dinner. And I met just so many great girls off like a Facebook travel group. And it was just, yeah, Bali is just like, it'll, have you been?
I haven't been to Bali. I've been to Cambodia and Thailand, like Koh Samui, Bangkok.
I love Koh Samui. Yeah, that's one of my favorites too. Yeah. And then Thailand. I just love like the Asian culture.
Yeah, you really, how you portray it. But let's talk about I think this segues perfectly into, you're so philanthropic. You know, the hurricane in Asheville, for instance, you're very, and I have the chills speaking on this, and you love your animals and you love volunteering and giving your time. Where did you first start doing that? How did you get into that? And that, it's just so beautiful how much you care.
Yeah. So you don't know this part of me. So for 12 years in LA, I had a charity that was take care of the homeless and their animals. Yeah. So I did a documentary for 4 years following a vet and his 3 dogs, getting him off the street, then into a tiny home and then into an RV and then like getting him into his apartment, getting him into college at 73.
Wow.
We got his teeth done. Like, we had a dentist. Yeah. No, it gives me chills because I just miss it. I miss that part of my life so much, but there's just not, thankfully, there's not a huge homeless community in Charleston, but that was a huge part of my life. Like, I was out there in the woods volunteering and making friends. I would take them to lunch. We would go fishing. Like, that was like a huge part of my life for about 11, 12 years in LA.
Wow. And do you see a lot of that in Thailand? Do you see that there's a lot of
There's a lot of animals, you know? So when I went to Thailand the very first time, I went and volunteered at like an animal shelter, which was just like heart-wrenching. Yeah. And so then I started that charity, started rescuing dogs, coming home with like carfuls of dogs. It was not good.
Yeah. I mean, there's a need for that in the city.
Yeah. And in LA, I would go to auditions downtown and I'd be in my high heels, like with my portfolio, running after all the stray dogs, like trying to save them all. And just, yeah, it stuck with me. So now anytime I can volunteer, I just do.
Yeah. And you literally do it full out. You did a whole series on your TikTok about, well, you posted on Instagram, but I specifically followed it. There's a lot of devastation.
Yeah, it's pretty awful and they're not showing it on TV, as you know. I mean, hopefully we can drive through it maybe a little bit today. But yeah, I mean, there's just, it's bad. It's sad.
It is sad. And, you know, you say you miss a piece of it. Do you see yourself getting back into that?
Oh, for sure. When we go back to California, I mean, there's just not a whole lot here in Charleston.
Yeah.
There is a lot in Asheville, but, you know, that's not super close to us.
And I don't think people talk about that enough. Explain to us what you see and the feelings that come up when you are volunteering. I think there's such a big fulfillment piece.
Yeah.
Even I'm missing, but that's why I live in Chicago, is because the foundation I'm a part of, the foster care and adoption, I'm going to the orphanages for
Christmas.
Which
is awesome. Yeah.
So like that's my fulfillment piece.
Yeah.
Talk about that with people and bring us into like that fulfillment piece about volunteering.
Yeah. I think for me, like a lot of people don't want to volunteer, especially with the homeless, because they think they're all on drugs. Which is definitely not the case. And even if they are on drugs, you know, they still need a hello. That was like kind of my motto when I was doing it. All it takes is a simple hello to just change this person's day, because they could go weeks without talking to people. It's just simple little tiny things. Like every time I'm at a grocery store, or if I see someone homeless, like the other day, a homeless lady came in and I was like, she asked me for money. I was like, I don't have any cash, but I always ask like, here, go get yourself some groceries and let me buy you some groceries. And I think if every person just started doing small things, especially in the wintertime, like for you, Chicago, in your car, like in LA, I would always keep like socks, winter jackets, like, you know, like hand warmers, things like that, because it gets cold. And, you know, like I remember in LA 2 years ago, there was a big, big community in the woods and they froze to death 1 year. There was like, I think maybe like 15 or 20 people.
And I think that's so important. It's like, it doesn't take curing them if they are on drugs, yeah, right? It's absolutely. Saying hello. It's treating them like human beings.
A human being, because they are all human and you don't know how they got to that place.
I was in San Francisco recently and there's a fentanyl problem.
Oh, it's bad.
And they call it the fentanyl fold.
Oh, God.
And so the fentanyl fold is where they literally slump over because they've taken so much fentanyl that they're core can't support them to stand up.
Yeah, see, and I mean, so that's just taking over as well.
For me, like, I relate with your comment about they're not all on drugs, but the ones we do see, it is intimidating. Growing up in San Diego, yeah. LA, it's the perfect breeding ground for homelessness.
Absolutely.
And I have this hard judgment and I'm super vulnerable. Those listening on the podcast know how open I am about, you know, I'm constantly learning. And I love that you said, you know, say hi, bring socks. It doesn't have to be taking them into your house.
No, of course not. No, I mean, I used to, but.
Yeah, I mean, you're unbelievable. Yeah,
don't do what I do. No, absolutely. Just small little things, you know? And, you know, people do think they're all on drugs and they're not. There's a lot of people, they're just, they have mental issues, you know? I mean, think about being on the street. You don't have the proper, like, nutrition. You don't have doctors. You don't have speaking to anybody. I mean, you do that for 2 years at a time. You're going to have some things that are going to not be all there anymore.
And I think just, Even if it's not saying hi or that, it's handing them socks. My mom taught me that growing up, you don't have to give money, but you can exchange.
Absolutely.
And I love that because oftentimes if they are on drugs, they will go find them.
Yeah.
And so if you give them food, kindness, but it's so beautiful, the act of giving. And it just comes up for me is think beyond ourselves.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the main reason and just highlighting why I'm so selfishly having you on this podcast is you are constantly thinking about your friends, thinking about curating experiences. I had no idea you had a home. Like, add that to my heart. You know, I'm just so grateful. I think thinking beyond ourselves is such a beautiful theme of today's message. But as we wrap up the podcast, is there anything you wanted to share with people listening? And whether it's relationships, travel, you talked about solo travel.
Yeah, just get out there and do it. You know, there's so many people that get scared to travel too. And especially solo travel.
Yeah,
I mean, that was some of like the best times of my life. Like when I was by myself, even if it was just for a few days, like you're on your own schedule, you do your own things. And it just like, you'll learn from so much, you know?
And I was in Barcelona by myself.
Yes, you did really good.
That was crazy for me, but I learned confidence because I had a fear going into the trip. I don't think I'd shared with this. I'm afraid of walking at night.
And when you got dressed up and decked out, I'm like, girl, you are good.
Yeah, I literally told myself, I was like, what would I do if I was with a group of friends?
Okay.
And I said, I would fucking get dressed up. I would get out there and go.
You look fucking fab. Yeah. I'm like, damn, go to dinner.
I had fun with it.
Yes.
I had fun with it. But I think solo travel, you do learn a lot. I mean, you walked in Thailand to go get a pedicure at 10:30 at night.
Like,
think about how many women and men that don't have that, but it doesn't have to start with that.
Absolutely.
You know, maybe it is starting out with the confidence of going up to a homeless man and giving him a pair of socks.
Exactly,
and so I think the empowerment of doing stuff solo-ly, is that even a word?
We're going to make it a word today.
We're going to make it a word.
Solo-ly.
But I'm just super inspired by how you see life, and it's not scary. It doesn't have to be scary.
It doesn't have to be scary.
Do you think travel has allowed you to see life that way?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you see the good, you see the bad, you see amazing places, you see not so amazing places, but you learn from them all.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And realize just how lucky you are too.
That is so amazing. Where can HFH fam find you on social?
All my socials are just Jasmine Dustin, D-U-S-T-I-N.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yay!
Thank you.
My stomach's growling. I'm sorry if you guys heard it the whole time.
Well, there you have it, Hustle for Happiness fam, a wealth of insights from the one and only Jasmine Dustin. I hope you're feeling inspired and ready to put Jasmine's relationship wisdom into practice. So here's your weekly challenge for this week. Pick one area of your life, whether it's your romantic relationship, your friendships, or even just the relationship with yourself, and implement one of Jasmine's strategies. Maybe it's setting a clear boundary you've been avoiding, or making time for a dedicated date night. Or even from afar. Heck, it could be as simple as a daily self-care ritual. Mine, I'm definitely going to try to get out and walk by myself or with James in the morning once a week. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it, and we can too. So let's get intentional. Let's get creative. And most importantly, let's get real with yourself. Because as Jasmine said, your time and energy are precious. Don't waste them on anything less than the connections that truly fulfill you. shoot me a DM and let me know how it goes. Until next time, keep chasing those dreams. You've got this. Love you guys.
I hope today's episode left you better than when I found you. Make sure you hit the subscribe button and tune in every Monday to kickstart your week and set your weekly intentions with me. You can find me and HFH on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok, or online at heycourtneybrook.com. I firmly believe in the power of sharing. If you know someone else who would benefit from this podcast, please share it with them. And remember, when you work on you, I get to be there.